Hello everybody, we're going to spend a few minutes now just looking in a bit more depth at those verses that Bara read from us from Luke. So if you've got a Bible, turn with me back to Luke chapter 22. You'll find it really helpful to have that in front of you. We're looking at verses 39 to 46. And as you turn there, let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that we can trust you and what you say to us. And so we pray that you'd help us do that this morning. And we pray that by your Spirit you would be changing us and helping us to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, has anybody seen any of these around the place recently? Maybe you've been out doing your daily exercise. They're popping up everywhere in people's windows, aren't they? Rainbows. And people seem to be putting them up as a sign, really, for people walking past to say, cheer up. Life's a bit tough at the moment, and there's lots to be worried about, but cheer up, be positive, and stay safe. And a rainbow's a great sign, isn't it? But did you know that the rainbow has been a sign for long time before just the last couple of weeks? God rescued a man named Noah, who you might have heard of, and his family, in a big ark from a terrible flood. And after he rescued him, God pointed to a rainbow in the sky and said, Noah, when you see that rainbow, remember my promises to you and to all people. And remember that you can trust me. And so rainbows for Christians, when we see them, are a sign to us of that as well. Of God's promises and of the fact we can trust him. Which at a time like this is more important than ever, isn't it? God made promises not just to rescue Noah, but actually to save the whole world. And those promises, Luke tells us right back at the beginning of his gospel, of his account, that those promises are coming true in Jesus. Jesus, who is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he is fully God and also fully human at the same time. And by the time we get to the reading that we had today in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is nearing the crunch point of God's promises being made yes, of them coming true. And the big question really for us this morning as we look at these verses is, can we trust God? Can we still trust God and his promises today? And so our word for today is just that. It is trust. But before we get to look at whether or how we can trust God and what that looks like for us, we're going to see in these verses the answer to the question, will Jesus trust his Father? Because that is crucial. So look with me, if you've got a Bible there, down to verse 39. Jesus went out, it's dark, it's the evening time. He's been with his disciples. They go as usual to the Mount of Olives. His disciples followed him. And then when they get there, he sends them off to pray, and he moves off by himself to pray to his Father. And then we get to listen in to what he prays. And in this prayer that he prays to his Father, we get the answer to our question, will Jesus trust his Father? And the answer that we get is a resounding, I hope you can see that okay, yes, Jesus trusts his Father. So look with me at what he says in verse 42. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. So at the heart of God's promises, we have the Father's Son, Jesus, and we have the Father's cup. Now, the cup that Jesus is talking about is not like this one that I'm holding up. This is a picture for us, a picture of what it is that Jesus is talking about. So what is in the cup that Jesus is going to drink, or that he wants, he's asking for his Father to take from him? What is in it? We know already that Jesus is going to have to face his death, and he knows that. He's told his followers four times, Luke has already told us about, that he said, I'm going to have to die for my Father's promises to come true. So he knows he's going to his death. He's told them about the rejection and the mockery and the suffering and then the death that he's going to have to face. But this cup that he's talking about is actually, it's a picture of something even greater than all of that. And so we're going to need a bigger cup. In the Old Testament, prophets talked about this cup, the Lord's cup. And they use different words to describe it, but they all point to the same thing. Isaiah, he talks about a cup that is filled with calamity. Ezekiel talks about a cup that is filled with anger. Jeremiah talks about a cup that is filled with punishment. And then Habakkuk, he talks about a cup that is filled with disgrace. So you see, this cup is filled with all of these terrible, awful things that are a picture of God's very, very great, very, very right anger. God's anger against everything that's wrong with our world. And that includes my sin and your sin. The way that we've turned away from God, we've gone our own way and messed up big time. And look at the mess of the world that we've made. So this cup was a great burden to bear. And so when we look further down in our passage, Luke describes how Jesus reacted. Look at verse 44. It says that Jesus, who remember was fully human, as well as being fully God, but in his perfect humanness, Luke says he was in anguish. Anguish means he was hurting, really hurting, deep down inside. And then on the outside, Luke says he was sweating drops of blood at the thought of this cup that he was going to have to take. And so he prays. And he says, Father, if you are willing, only if it's your will, Father, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus trusts his Father all the way through, no matter how bad this is going to be, and it's going to be bad. You see, everyone in the world has their own cup that we deserve to drink for all of our sin, for all the ways we've turned away from God. And yet the amazing thing we see here is that God promises to take the cup himself as Jesus, the Son of God. And so Jesus is facing this awful judgment as he takes on the sin of not just one person, but of the whole world. And he does that so that we can have the best. He takes the worst so we can have the best. We sang earlier, if you were with us in the playlist, Psalm 23, where King David writes about a cup of joy overflowing. And for those who are trusting in Jesus, who said to Jesus, take the judgment I deserve, that's what we get in return. Hope, eternal life, and forgiveness, because Jesus trusted his Father. Thank you.
Oh, you're there.
Oh, sorry. I was just really enjoying the music. You caught me. Caught me having a nap. Never worry. I'm awake now. Where were we? Yes. We've seen, haven't we? Jesus trusts his Father, even though he knows the awful consequences for him. But he trusts his Father and his promises and his plan to save the world. And now we're thinking about ourselves. Can we trust our Father God? And to answer it, we're going to look at the disciples in the reading. And as we look at them, we're going to see that we've basically got two options as followers of Jesus, as fellow disciples, as Christians. Are we going to be sleepy Christians, as I was just then, or are we going to be trusting Christians, disciples, praying Christians, disciples? So are we going to be sleepy, or are we going to be trusting? Look with me down at verse 45. So God's plan, remember, to save the world is reaching crunch point. Jesus, in verse 45, he rose from prayer, went back to the disciples, and found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. They were sleeping, just like I was a minute ago. They knew what was coming, and they were so sad, so emotionally distressed, that they just fell asleep. But that wasn't what Jesus had told them to do, was it? So, back at the beginning of our passage, in verse 40, when they reached that place, he said to them, "Pray. Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And then when he wakes them up, he asks them again. And he says to them again, "Get up and pray. Pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Don't sleep, disciples, but pray. Talk to your Father in heaven who loves you. Trust your Father in heaven and his plans for the world and for you. That's what prayer is, isn't it? When we talk to God, when we bring our fears and our situations and our joys to God in prayer, we're saying, "I trust you, God, with these things. I trust your plans and promises, not mine." Prayer is the opposite of sleeping. Now, when Jesus tells his disciples to wake up, and when he says to us to wake up, he doesn't mean never sleep. Of course, we need to sleep. Please, go to sleep tonight when your parents tell you to. But don't sleep your way through life. Don't be a sleepy disciple. Be a praying disciple. Trust your Father in heaven. And just look at what happens when you do. So look with me at verse 43. Jesus is praying, and verse 43 says, "An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him." So prayer made all the difference for Jesus. He was facing pressure on every side, and God answered his prayer and gave him the strength that he needed. It didn't mean things were going to then be easy, or the hard things were going to be taken away. But he was going to be strengthened. He was going to be strong to face it. You might say, "Well, yeah, of course, that's Jesus. He's God's son, of course. God's going to answer his prayer like that." But remember what Jesus has done for us. Remember what he's taken from us. He's taken God's very, very great, very, very right anger away, so that we can be children of God, so that we can be loved as Jesus is loved, so that we can be listened to as Jesus is listened to. The last thing that Jesus told his disciples to do before he's taken from them, before he goes to his death, is here in this passage. What is it? Look down. He says it twice. Two things. Twice he tells them the same thing to do. The last thing he says to do: pray. Pray. Trust in God. Jesus trusted his Father. And that means that we can too. And so we must. Right, I've got a quick game. I've got some disciples here with me. I've not thought of names for them. But I'm going to hold them up and tell you what's going on with their lives. And I want you to, if you want to take part, tell me whether they should sleep in this situation. That'll be best for them. Or whether they should pray. So here is my worried disciple. I hope you can see that. This disciple, this Christian, follower of Jesus, is really worried about everything that's going on in the world at the moment. And really fearful about it. What should they do? Should they sleep? Or pray? They should pray. Of course, they should trust their Father in heaven. Okay, next one. This disciple is actually really enjoying the opportunity to be kind and show kindness to neighbours and friends and other people in need. So she's coping really well at the moment. What should she do? Should she just have a nice sleep as a disciple? Or should she pray? I hope you're saying she should pray too. She should keep trusting her Father in heaven. Last one I've got here. This disciple has been stuck at home now for over 2 weeks with his quite large, quite lively family, and he's just really fed up and getting really wound up by his younger siblings. What should he do? Sleep or pray? Yeah, he should pray. He should trust his Father in heaven too. The disciples in our reading, their whole world was falling apart here. And for some of us, it might feel a bit like that's happening at the moment. So much has been taken away from us, hasn't it? School has been taken away, perhaps work for some of us, sport, being able to be in the same place as the people that we love. All of these things have been taken away from us. But your Father in heaven will never be taken away from you. Can never be taken away from you. So trust in him in these days. Pray to him. Don't be sleepy. Be praying. Sleepy disciples will get tempted and may fall into temptation. Will fall into temptation. They'll wander away from Jesus down the wrong path. Praying disciples will also get tempted, but they will receive the strength that they need to face that temptation and keep going following Jesus. Okay, I do trust in God, but I don't really know how to pray, or I want help on how to pray. Well, just a couple of very quick things as we come to a close, that we can see actually in these verses, I think. Loads more we could say on this, but just some things to learn from this passage. And first thing is that when they go into the garden, to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sends his disciples off together to pray. So it's really good to pray with other people. Obviously, we can't meet as a church family to do that right now, which is sad. But if in your home, in your house, there are other Christians, other disciples, pray together. If not, or even if there is, pick up the phone and pray with your Christian friend on the phone. It's really good to pray together. And we'll be doing that at Praise and Prayer, in fact, this week on Wednesday. But also, it's good to pray on your own. That's what Jesus was doing. He went off by himself. So you can pray by yourself, no matter how old you are. You can do that. And then thirdly, just on a practical note, it's really good to pray out loud. That's what Jesus was doing, even though he was on his own, which might seem a bit weird, but that's something I know I found recently, even when I'm on my own, praying out loud. Not because that means God can hear me better, he knows my thoughts, but actually just getting the words out really helps me to pray. And then in terms of what do I say when I pray, what should we say? Well, Jesus is really honest about how he feels, about what he wants even. And it's okay for us to tell God what it is we want right now. Even if we're not really sure if it should be what we want, we can tell God that's what we want. We can ask for it to happen. But then we must also tell God that we trust him. So we're not demanding things our way. even though it seems like the good and right thing for us. We say to God, look, I trust you. Jesus did that by saying, not my will, but your will. We can use our own words, but we should in all our prayers be saying to God, look, we trust you. We trust your plans for my life. We trust your plans for the world. So just a few things for you to think about. We're going to have a song now, Before the Throne of God Above, which just has wonderful truths about the confidence that we can have as we come before God in prayer. And I really hope that as we come out at the end of all this, whenever it is, out of this lockdown, and we're back together again, that we'll come together as individuals and families and young and old, not as those who've been sort of asleep as Christians, as disciples, but those who have been praying and are still praying. Praying disciples who trust our Father God just like Jesus did, and who are strengthened by him just as Jesus was. Let me pray that now, and then the song will follow. Father God, thank you so much for your good and perfect will and plan and your promises that are all made yes in Jesus. And we thank you so much that he trusted you and he took the cup that we deserve so that we can be free and healed and forgiven. Help us to trust him. Help us to trust you each day and to pray, not be sleepy, but be prayerful, and Lord, to be strengthened by you to face whatever comes our way. In Jesus' name, amen.